Today's shir is Masechta Sukkah Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin on Daf Chaf Beis on an Aleph at the top of the Amud Sukkah HaMeduvelelas. Begins the Mishnah Sukkah HaMeduvelelas. If you have a Sukkah that the Schach is Meduvelel, as we'll see soon in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, the definition of Meduvelelas is that it's spare Schach or Sukkah, it's Silsa Merubah Mechamsa. If the Sukkah has more shade than sun, in both of these cases, the halacha is ksheira, the sukkah is a kosher sukkah. However, if the sukkah has very thick schach, kemen bayis, that the schach is thick like a home, afapi shein hakachav nir mitaycha, even though it's so thick that you can't see the sun, that you can't see stars through the sukkah, the halacha is that the sukkah is kosher. The question, of course, the Yerushalayim point out that, as we learned earlier, if the sukkah is made out of boards, so the halacha is, if the boards are four tefachim wide and they're the kind of boards that were used to make roofs in those times, then that sukkah would not be kosher. If it's less than four tefachim wide, then we learned the machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda, Rav and Shmuel. Here we're talking about it's not that type of schach. It's you have very thick schach, but it's not the type of boards that I use to make a regular sukkah. If the sukkah is so thick that rain cannot penetrate into the sukkah, the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, as he stated at the beginning of the Masechta and Tosfos, the beginning of Masechta, is that the sukkah is possible. The Rosh doesn't agree with Rabbeinu Tam, and the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Tov Reish Lamed Aleph Sifkat Nevav paskins that l'chatchila one should try to follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that not have such thick schach. But if it's not possible, or it's not possible to lessen the amount of schach, the halacha is that b'diavad one could be mekel. So the Mishnah in our shiur today began discussing a sukkah hamduvelelas, but we need to know what exactly is a sukkah hamduvelelas. Amarav sukkah ania. It's a sukkah that has very spare schach, and it has a lot of empty spaces, and the halacha is that still the sukkah is kosher. However, as we learned earlier, there is no airspace of three tefachim between the schach, because there's going to be an airspace of three tefachim between the schach. As we learned earlier in Amasechta, the sukkah would be possible. Another pshat that Ritva says that since we're dealing with a very sparse amount of schach, however, even though it's very sparse, it is still kosher schach, explains the Ritva. What the Mishnah means to teach us is that we need not be concerned that just because it has such a sparse amount of schach, some of it may blow away. And if some of it may blow away, we won't end up having enough schach. The halacha is we need not be concerned about that. Shmuel has a different interpretation in Sukkah Meduvelelas. His definition is Kana oil of a kari jared. There is the schach on top of the sukkah is not flat, but rather it's some sticks are higher and some sticks are lower. And the halacha is that as long as the sticks are within three tefachim from each other, as we're going to learn, the halacha is that it's a kosher sukkah. Now, there's a very interesting machlokes rishonim. We are learning now that the schach is not flat, they go up and down. And therefore, even if you have sufficient amount of schach, because the schach is not all flat, there's a real concern if you're going to have chamsa rub metzilsa, you're going to have too much sun in the schach, or you won't have too much sun in the schach. And the Rishonim debate, what will be the halacha according to Shmuel in such a sukkah? Rashi and Tosfos hold that as long as the schach is within three tefachim of each other, which we just mentioned, if the schach is within three tefachim of each other, then the sukkah is a kosher sukkah. It doesn't make a difference that the chamsa is merubah metzilsa. The Ran disagrees, and the Ran says that if it's chamsa merubah metzilsa, even though the sticks are within three tefachim of each other, that sukkah will not be a kosher sukkah. Rav, says the Gemara, Rav Tani Chada, Rav said that our Mishnah is referring to one halacha, Shmuel Tani Tarti, and Shmuel says our Mishnah is referring to two halachas, explains the Gemara. Rav Tani Chada, sukkah meduvlelas, that our Mishnah is speaking about a sukkah meduvlelas, umay meduvlelas, and what is the definition of meduvlelas? As we've been learning, medudeldels, it has a sparse amount of schach. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even though it has a sparse amount of schach, as long that it's still some ruba mechamtza, that the shade is more than the sun, kshera, the sukkah is a kosher sukkah. But Shmuel Tamni Tarti, Shmuel on the other hand, says that our Mishnah is talking about two halachas. Mayim meduvlelas mubebelas, tatik tani. And the Mishnah is teaching us two dinim. One is sukkah meduvlelas, and we have a sukkah that has the schach, one up and one down. The halacha is kshera, the sukkah is kosher schach, because as we just explained, as long as they're within three tefachim of each other, we look at them as if they're all flat. And then the Mishnah teaches us another halacha, that tzilsim ruba mechamtza, the halacha is that it's also kosher. So as the Rishonim explain, what the Gemara means to say is that the machloikus of Rav and Shmuel is based on how do we understand the Mishnah. Because according to Rav, the definition of mduvleles is that it has a sparse amount of schach, and therefore our sukkah has nothing to do with the question when the schach is one up or one down. According to Shmuel, the pshat in our Mishnah is that the sukkah is talking about where one piece of schach is higher and one piece is lower, and that's therefore, since that's pshat in the Mishnah, that halacha can be learned from that halacha can be learned from our Mishnah. However, as we said earlier, Amar Abaya lo yishana l'kishein bein zeh l'zeh shloshet tefachim. When did Shmuel say that if one piece of schach is higher, one piece of schach is lower, we look at it as if they're all flat? That's when there are less than three tefachim, because then we could say the halacha of loved. Aval, if a situation sheyesh bein zeh lezeh shlosh tefachim, if there's three tefachim or more between these sticks, then it's psula because there's a concern of loved. We're not able to say loved, and therefore the schach is not looked at as if it's flat along the roof of the sukkah. Comments Rava, Amar Rava, afilo bein zeh lezeh shlosh tefachim, even when there's three tefachim between the sticks, nami, the sukkah could still be a kosher sukkah. Loy amaran, because when we said earlier in our masechta that if there's airspace in your schach of three tefachim or more, it disqualifies your sukkah. Elik she'en begagu tefach. The width does, if the upper board, the upper piece of wood doesn't have a width of a tefach. Aval yesh gagoy, if the upper board is a tefach wide, then kshera, your sukkah is going to be kosher. Because we're going to say another halachic principle. And that's the halachic principle of chavoit rami. A chavoit rami means that you pull down the upper board as if it goes down. And since that upper stick goes down, then we could say chavoit rami. And therefore, even though this is a situation where we can't say loved, because there's more than three tefachim, and whenever there's more than three tefachim, we can't say love it, but we could say chavoit rami. And the Rishonim make a very important point. When we speak about halachic principles, there are two halachic principles that seem to be very similar. One is the principle of chavoit rami, that we just learned that you pull down the board, and the other principle is chgur achis, that we pull down the wall or pull up a wall. And the Rishonim want to know, when do we say it, or when don't we do? When do we not say it? So I saw a very nice way to explain when is the principle chavoit rami and when is the principle gurachis. When we're speaking about a wall, when we're speaking about existing mechitza, and we want to raise it or bring it down, that's when we say gurachis gurasik. When we're speaking about a piece of wood, not an existing wall, then it's the similar principle, but the principle that will be used will be chavoit rami, not gur achis. And the Gemara is teaching us is that it has to at least have a tefach width. Because when it has a width of a tefach, so it's considered significant. And since it's considered significant, we could apply the concept of chavoyt rami. But if it doesn't have that necessary width of a tefach, it's not considered significant, so we cannot say chavoyt rami. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Menoam Inelah. What is the basis for this? Says the Gemara, the key ispei tefach amin by chavoyt rami. What is the basis for what we just learned? That when it has the width of a tefach, we apply the concept of chavoyt rami. V'chilespei, but if it doesn't have that width, loy amrina chavoyt rami, we don't apply that concept. The Tanan, the Mishnah, and Masechta Olos, Perek Yud Beis, Mishnah Hei, discusses a subject that we've mentioned a number of times in our Masechta, and that is the concept of oil and tumas ameis. And in the time of Chazal, the roofs, as we mentioned at the beginning of our shiur, the roofs of the homes were made out of wood. And they take big beams and they put them on the roof, and then they put boards between those big boards. Normally, in those times, first they had the beams, then they had the boards between the beams, and then they used to put cement, plaster, maziva, between all of that to keep them together. Many times when they had a two-storied home, and again, in those days, the roofs on the homes were not slanty, but they were flat. And our Mishnah discusses Kairos Abayis Valia. You have the two stories of the home, and you put down the beams, and Ein Aleya Maziva, and there is no cement, Ve'emuchuvonis. And one beam is right on top of the other beam. That means the beam on the bottom floor and the beam on the top floor, right one on top of the other. The halacha is, tuma tachas achs mehen, if there's tuma under one of those beams, tachteo tomei. That means if you're going to have tuma under the beam on top of the first story of the home, anything under that beam, since the beam is a tefach wide, so since the beam is tefach wide, it brings tumas oil, and not only is the what's directly under the beam tameh, but the entire oil, any not just the part which is under the beam, but the entire width is going to be considered tameh. Bein tachtana l'alyoina, if you're going to have tuma on top of the bottom beam, which is between the bottom beam and the upper beam, then the halacha is beinayim tamei. The area between the beams is going to be tamei. And as we've learned many times, if there's going to be empty space of a tefach between the tuma, and there's going to be empty space of a tefach between the tuma and the roof that's on top of it, so that prevents the tuma from going all the way up. It makes that the tuma should stop at the beam. If, however, the tumah will go all the way up to the beam, that will be called tumah ritzutza. And when we have tumah ritzutza, and we cast for oil at shemayim, that tumah goes all the way up. Agav al yoina, if you have tumah on top of the upper beam, connect the adler rikia, so you have tumah on top of that upper beam, there is no oil, there's nothing on top of that beam, so therefore, the tumah goes all the way up to the shemayim. Tameh says the Bryce, says the Mishnah further. Hayal yoinus kabena tachtonus. In this case, the upper beams aren't right on top of the bottom beams, but rather they're staggered. You have a lower beam on the bottom floor, then you have a beam on the upper floor which is right next to it, but not on top of it, and so on. So the halacha here is, if the tumah is under any beam, whether the bottom beam or the upper beam, tachas kulon, where anything that's under any beam is tumah. Because if there's no beam separating the upper beam from the lower beam, there's nothing on top of it. And the upper beam, there's nothing below it. So anything that's under any beam is going to be tumah. Al-gabayim. And similarly, if there's tumah on top of any beam, then the halacha is connected al-rukiyah tameh. Normally, if there's tum on top of a beam, and one beam is on top of the lower beam, so that upper beam, as we just said a moment ago, as long as there's a tefach airspace between the tumah and the upper beam, that upper beam will prevent the tumah from going up any higher. But here, we don't have the upper beam directly above the lower beam. Since we don't have the upper beam directly above the lower beam, so there's nothing to prevent the tumah that's on top of that lower beam, and certainly if it's on top of one of the upper beams, so will too will be the same halacha from the tumah going up. Because, says the Gemara, v'tanei alo, and the Braisa, in explaining that Mishnah, says, b'medva mamurim, when is this Mishnah speaking about, b'zem b'sheish ben tefach, when the beams are tefach wide, and b'neim p'seich tefach, and the area between the beams is a tefach wide. So that's why we could understand the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah says that when the beams are one on top of the other, the tumah only spreads under the beam, because since the beam is a tefach wide, once the beam is a tefach wide, it's considered a oil, and since it's considered an oil, anything that's under the oil becomes tumah with tumas oil. And it too has the ability of being a mechitza, of being a separator from tumah being able to spread higher. Because the halacha is that anything that is considered an oil, given the right conditions as we have been discussing, can prevent tumah from going up. When the next case of the Mishnah that we discussed, when the space is a tefach wide, therefore when the space is a tefach wide, we could look at it as chavoyt rami, and therefore we could say as if the entire house is covered by a roof. And therefore, if there's beams, even though they're staggered, if there's a tefach in between, we'll say the concept of chavoyt rami. Aval ein beinayim, if there is no space of a tefach between the beams, let's say the lower story has staggered beams, and there is no tefach between them, the halacha is tumatachs achs mehen. So then the halacha is where tumah is below one of them, it goes up, but the tumah is there. Tachter, what's under it is tamei, because the beams are tefach wide, so it creates tumas oil. But what's not under a beam is going to be tar, because we can't say that the upper beam, which is staggered, is looked like it goes down, because if it's not a tefach wide, we can't say that. Beinayim, and the Braisa continues saying that anything when there's tumah under it doesn't become tamei, whether they're staggered or not, the halacha is al gabeim, what's on top of the beams is tahor, because since they're tefach wide, they prevent the tumah from going up. But what do we see from this Braisa, what's relevant to our shir? Alma, what we learn from all of this is isbei tefach, when we have an area that's a tefach wide, we say chavoyt rami. Less by tefach, but if it doesn't have that tefach width, lo yamin chavoyt rami. Shema mina, we go back to what Rava said at the beginning of this sugya, that in order to, that even if you'll have schach, that's not even, one higher, one lower, and even if there's more than three tefachim separating the upper schach from the lower schach, as long as each piece of schach is a tefach wide, we could still view it as if it went down with the concept of chavoyt rami. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rav Kahana v'kamal ha-shmatza. Rav Kahana was teaching us this halacha. Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kahana, v'kol hecha de les bei tefach, is that true that wherever there isn't a width of a tefach, lo yamin chavoyt rami, we can't say chavoyt rami? And as the Rishonim explained, as the Pnei Yeshua explains the Gemara's question, even if that Mishnah that we just quoted in Masechta Alos teaches us that we don't say chavoyt rami if you don't have a width of a tefach, that's only a halacha in Hilchas Tumah. And all the halachas of mechitza and oil, points out the Pnei Yeshua, are learned from a halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. So the halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai teaches us that where it's applicable, and where it's not applicable, it's not applicable. And we're going to show you, says the Gemara, that there are certain circumstances that we say chavoyt rami, even though there isn't a width of a tefach. for Tanya. The Braisa starts teaching us the halacha of a Mavi. As we've discussed many times in our shiurim, the way their homes were constructed, where the homes opened up to a chatzar, and then a number of chatzeris opened up to a Mavi, to an alleyway, and that alleyway opened up to a Rishus HaRabim. And the halacha is that in order to be able to carry from one's home to the chatzar, we need to make a Ruvei Chatzeris. The reason a Ruvei Chatzeris need to be made is because Shlomo HaMelech said the Rishus HaYoch, the home, is a much more private type of Rishus HaYochid than the chatzar. The chatzar is available and used by all the people who live in the chatzar. The home is used by the people who live in each home. So in order to chas v'shalom not get confused, and then be able, and then chas v'shalom come to carry from the Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, the halacha is you can't carry from the chot, from that bayis, from your own private home, the more private Rishus HaYochid, to the chotzer without making a Ruvei Chatzeris. Then, in order to be able to carry from the Chatzeris to the Mavi, because the Chatzeris are more private than the Mavi, the Chatzeris are only available to the people whose homes open up to the Mavi, to the Chatzer, whereas the Mavi is available to all of the different Chatzeris. So the Mavi had three walls and are opening to the Rishus HaRabim. So again, Midaraisa, the Mavi is a full-fledged Rishus HaYochid, has three walls. But because of the concern that we just mentioned, Chazal said that in order to be able to carry, you have to do two things. You have to make a Shtufim Avos, which is very similar to the Ruvei Chatzeris, to be able to carry from the Chatzeris to the Mavi. As we learned early in the Masechta, the difference between a Ruvei Chatzeris and Shtufim Avos, that a Ruvei Chatzeris can only be made out of bread, whereas Shtufim Avos, you have to use food, but it doesn't have to be bread. And the other nafkamina between Shtufim Avos and Ruvei Chatzeris is besides combining everybody with the food that we just spoke about, there's another requirement, and that is that they have to make a lechi or a kaira at the opening where the Mavi opens up to Rishus HaRabim. And there's a lechi means a vertical pole at the entrance, and a kaira means a beam across the entire entrance of the Mavi. And the Braisa teaches us regarding that kaira. Kaira yoytz mekaisel zeh, if a kaira, you put your cross beam, and it isn't wide enough. It goes out from one open side of the opening of the Mavi. The ein and the gas because there, but it doesn't quite reach the other wall. The chain shtei kairos, or you have two beams. Achas yotz mekaisel zeh, v'achas yotz mekaisel zeh. You have each one of them coming out from the other, each different side of the opening of the Mavi. How again? But they don't quite reach. They're not wide enough. So Tanakama's opinion is, if there's less of a space, if the space is less than three tefachim, there's no need to bring another kaira, because we could say, loved. If there's a width of three tefachim or more, because when there's more than three tefachim, we can't use the concept of loved. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that one can say lovud up to four tefachim. And therefore, his opinion is, pachas mi arba, if the space is less than four tefachim, ain't tzarech lavi kairacheres, there's no need to bring another beam, because if it's less than four tefachim, I could say lovud. Arba tefachim, if it's four tefachim or more, tzarech lavi kairacheres. Then you have to bring another kairim. So till now, we've been speaking about the length of the kaira, and the kaira has to go against the whole opening of the mavi, and we learned that you could also use the concept of loved to make sure that your kaira is a kosher kaira. But now we're going to speak about the width of this kaira, the width of this beam that we're putting at the entrance of your mavi. The width of the kaira has to be a tefach wide. Because if it's going to be a tefach wide, you're going to be able to put on it an ariach. The ariach is half of a levaina. A levaina is a brick. The bricks that they had in the time of Shas had a standard size. They were 3 tefachim wide by 3 tefachim long. An ariach is half a levaina. That means the length of an ariach is 3 tefachim, but the width of an ariach is a tefach and a half. Now, if we have to be able to put it on this beam, why is a tefach enough? It should require a tefach and a half. Because if you're going to balance the tefach of the tefach and a half of this ariach on top of the beam, so yes, you're going to have a half a tefach sticking, you're going to have a half a tefach sticking out, which means each half, each side will have an etzba, because the tefach is made up of 4 etzbas. You'll have an etzba on each side, but since you're going to put on some cement, put the brick on it, so that will keep it firm on the beam, even though the beam doesn't have the proper width. So the Braisa discusses, Kein shtei kairis hamatimais. You have 2 beams that are like 2 twigs next to each other. V'loi bezu k'dei l'kabel ariach, v'loi bezu k'dei l'kabel ariach. Each beam by itself does not have the proper width of a tefach that we just discussed. However, im makablos ariach l'rachbay, if by putting them next to each other, we have the width of a tefach, so now the fact that it isn't one beam, the fact that it's 2 separate beams, is not a problem. And therefore, ein tzarich lahavi kaira acharis, there's no need to bring a different kaira. However, im lav, if by combining these 2 beams, we still don't have the width of a tefach, then the halach is tzarich lahavi kaira acharis, we have to bring another kaira. So the way Rashi and the Maram Rottenberg explained the Gemara, in order to have a situation when you have 2 beams next to each other to make them a kosher beam, they have to be right next to each other. And not only do they have to be right next to each other, we also have to have together a combined width of a tefach. And according to this part of the Braisa, according to the opinion of Tanakama, according to Rashi's understanding of his opinion, we can't use the concept of lavud to combine the 2 beams. That if the 2 beams are within 3 tefachim of each other, we'll say lavud. Because lavud doesn't mean that the can't create, that the that this brick, which I need to sit there, is going to be there. The Rambam also agrees that together they have to have a width of a tefach, but he is more lenient, and he says that even the Tanakhama will agree to the concept of lavud. The other Rishonim say that you don't have to have that together, they should be a tefach wide, and they don't need to be next to each other. As long as they're within a tefach and a half of each other, it's going to be fine. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if you don't have a width of tefach, im mekabos ariach, as long as you have the proper width, that if you put an ariach on one side, la'arkoi, shlosh tefachim, if you're going to have that they're so far from each other that one corner of the ariach is on one beam and the other one is on the other beam, even though that wide, shlosh tefachim, because as we said a few moments ago, the length of an ariach is 3 tefachim, then ain't tzarich lahavi akera cheres, it will be good enough and we will not have to bring another kaira, then laugh, but if there's more than that width, that you can't, that it's too wide to put the ariach length on it, tzarich lahavi kaira cheres. Continues the Braisa. Hayu achs med lamala. Of course, the Rishonim point out, the Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to agree that if you could put the ariach, if the 2 beams are close to each other, and you could put the width of the ariach, which is only a tefach and a half on top of it, then certainly it's fine. But he's being makel that sometimes it's to our favor to look at trying to put the brick on top of these beams, not to look at the width, but to look at the length, and whatever works best is doable. Then the Braisa continues. Haya achas lamal of achas lamata. One beam was higher and one beam is lower. Reb Yosef Reb Yehuda Omer, Roine El Yonah Kilamata. The halacha takes the upper beam and brings it down. The way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is we don't have to have both. We don't have to have the both the lower beam, that the upper beam goes down and the lower beam goes up. We just need that they should meet. So as long as one goes up or one goes down, it's enough. What the Gemara means to say is either one could go up or down. But we have to be careful that the upper beam can't be above 20 amma, and tech techtoina, or the lower beam can't be lower than 10 tefachim. Going back to the halacha that we began amasechta with, that any mechitza can't be above 20 ammas or below 10 tefachim. And even though the Gemara Masechta Erev at the beginning of the Masechta discusses extensively what is the purpose of the Kaira, does the Kaira serve as if the halacha says that the Kaira creates a mechitza, or does the Kaira serve as a hecker? The halacha is that you have to, even if you'll hold that it's a hecker, so if it's a hecker, what's the problem if it's less than 10 tefachim? As long as it may even be better. As long as I have that hecker, it should be fine. So the Rishonim explain that even the opinion that holds that the purpose of the Kaira is to create a hecker, but it's not just that there has to be that I see something. It has to be what's known in the halacha as a hecker shel pesach. It's a hecker that creates a pesach. And if it's less than 10 tefachim, as we've learned already from the beginning of our Masechta, when it's less than 10 tefachim tall, it's not halachically considered a pesach. And therefore, since it's not halachically considered a pesach, it wouldn't work. What do we see? But what is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda teaching us? That Zev is Zev B'toich Esrim. If the upper beam and the lower beam are both within 20 amma, we say Chavoyt Rami. We raise the lower beam, we lower the upper beam. Why? How does the halacha allow us to do so to the beam? It goes back to the principle that we spoke earlier in the Masechta. And that's the principle of Chavoyt Rami. But here we see that even though it's not a tefach wide, because obviously, were the beam a tefach wide, we wouldn't need to have any of these discussions, and we still say the concept of chavoyt rami. I mean, chavoyt rami, afagav, the less by tefach. So how could Rava have said that we could only say the concept of chavoyt rami when it's a tefach wide? Says the Gemara, Amalei, Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, Tritzva emahachi, Uvad, shloi tehe el yoyna lamalam esrim, el betoich esrim. The upper one has to be within, the upper one is above 20 amis. Ela b'toich esrim, it has to be within 20 amis. Tachtona smuch loy b'poch mishloisha, it has to be within 3 tefachim. Otherwise, so then we could say loved, and in order to say loved, you don't have to have the width of a tefach. But in order to say chavoyt rami, you would have to. Inami, or another way of saying what the Brice meant to say was, Vachle Tachton Lamata Masara, the lower beam may not be below 10 tefachim, Elamal Masara, it has to be above 10 tefachim, El Yoyna Smuchle Vlash Toisha. You have to have A, that the lower beam is above 10 tefachim, and B, it has to be within 3 tefachim of the upper beam. When it is within 3 tefachim of the upper beam, we could say, love it. Avil, Shloisha, if there's going to be a distance between the upper beam and the lower beam of 3 tefachim or more, kim de les by tefach, once you don't have the proper width of a tefach, we can't apply the concept of chavoyt rami, loimrin chavoyt rami, because Rava is correct, we never say chavoyt rami if what we want to say chavoyt rami with is not a tefach wide. We learned in the Mishnah, tzilsum ruba mechamtsa, ksheira. So our Mishnah taught us that in order for the sukkah to be kosher sukkah, the shade has to be more than the sun. Our Mishnah is obviously teaching us, Gabi Hadadi, if the equal, the shade and the sun, psula, it would be apostle sukkah. But ask the Gemara, Vatanam B'idach Pirkin, haven't we learned at the beginning of our Masechta that Shechamsa Merubim Mitzilsa Psula? When is the sukkah apostle if the Chamsa is Merubim Mitzilsa? Clearly indicating, Hakadadi, if the chamtsa and tzilsa are equal, it would be ksheira. So we have a stiras hamishnayis. What is going to be the halacha when the chamtsa and the tzilsa are equal? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Kan, Amishnah, which seems to speak about, seems to teach us that if they're equal, it's possible, is mamala. We're talking about that the schach on the roof is chamtsa and tzilsa are equal, and when you're going to have chamtsa tzilsa equal on the roof, the Gemara is saying, this way Rashi explains the Gemara, then on the bottom, in the floor of the sukkah, you're going to have chamtsa ruv and tzilsa. Because as the Gemara is going to teach us in a moment, the sun spreads. Can the Mishnah at the beginning of the Sechta that says if the, which teaches us that if they're equal, then it's fine as Milmata. That in the sukkah itself, on the floor of the sukkah, the chamtsa and the tzilsa are equal. If you have a situation, the Gemara is saying, that the chamtsa and the tzilsa on the floor of the sukkah are equal, that means on the roof you have tzilsa merubim chamtsa. And since if you're going to have tzilsa merubim chamtsa on your roof, that's exactly what we're saying is a kosher sukkah. Amar Rav Papa, because Rav Papa explains, the Amri Inchi, people, how do we understand what we just learned? The Amri Inchi Kazuza is a coin the size of a zuz mel'el on top, Bistra, which is a larger coin, betachas. In other words, the sun spreads on the bottom. So this is the way Rashi explains. The Rashi explains that if the more sun, you'll always have more sun on the bottom than you'll have on the top. And therefore, if you're going to have chamtsa and tzilsa equal on top, on bottom, you're going to have chamtsa, meruvim et tzilsa, and posel. But if you're going to have on the bottom chamtsa and tzilsa equal, then on top you obviously have tzilsa merubim chamtsa, which is going to be kosher. The Iter, quoting his rebbe's, says just the opposite. He says when they're equal on top, then you're going to have on the bottom tzilsa merubim chamtsa, and when it's equal on bottom, then it's obvious that on top you had chamtsa merubim metzilsa. The Mefarshim point out that there's really not a very significant halachic lemaisa nafkamina between Rashi and the Iter. The only nafkamina between Rashi and the Iter is just how to explain the sukkah, the Gemara. However, Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Divrei Maskil Kezuza has a very different approach to this Gemara. He says that Mi'ikra Adin, when you have Chatzi Kanem Mechatzi Avir, 50-50, it's kosher. Because it goes back to a concept that comes up often in Masecht Erevin. When you have walls around an area and it's Paritz Ka'imid, and there's a Machlaikis, what is the Halacha? And the Halacha is the same question here, that Rav Papa teaches us in Masecht Erevin, says Rabbi Natam, Masecht Erevin that has Vav, that Paritz is Ka'imid, and therefore if they're equal, it's fine. And that's the way he explains our Gemara. If somebody, what the Gemara means to say is as follows. If somebody's standing on the ground of a sukkah, on the floor of a sukkah, and he looks at the schach, and he sees that it looks like that the empty space and the full space are equal, the sukkah is possible. Because even though to you it looks equal, in reality, when it looks equal, in the schach itself, there's going to be more empty space than full space. Because that's way the eye fools you. And the eye looks like to the top, and it looks like it has more full space than it doesn't. And therefore, if it looks to you exactly equal, the halacha is it's going to be possible. But if you go up to the schach, says Rebbe Tam, the Gemara is teaching us, and you actually look on the schach itself, and you find that the empty space and the full space are equal, then the sukkah is going to be kosher. Because as we just said, the halacha is paritz koimid. If the empty space and the full space are exactly equal, kshera. To which Rav Papa brings the expression that people say, when you look at something full, somebody who's sitting on the bottom and he sees a coin on top, even though the coin is a smaller coin, it always looks like a bigger coin, even though in actuality it is a smaller coin. because things looking from down up always look bigger. Those are the pshatim in this machlokes. We learned further in the Mishnah, Me'over k'min bayis, if the schach is very thick like a house, it's still kosher. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Ha'me'over k'min bayis, if the schach on the roof of your sukkah is very thick, Af bish enek achovim nirim b'toichoy, even though the stars can't be seen, k'sheira. If, however, says the Braisa, En k'ochvei chama nirim b'toichoy, if the rays of the sun are not visible in your sukkah, Beishamai poislim. Beishamai said that the sukkah is possible if you can't even get sun rays into your sukkah, or Beisil machshirin. However, the Rishonim say that even though Beisil just said that the rays of the sun do not penetrate your sukkah is still kosher, the Rishonim say that that's only b'diavad. L'chatchila, certainly, you have to have a sukkah that the rays of the sun penetrate. And moreover, the Yerushalmi says that Yerushalmi says explicitly that the sukkah should have the ability to see, have sun rays go through. But once you have sun rays going through, according to Yerushalmi, and it's the opinion of many Rishonim as well, the halacha is that the sukkah is kosher. The Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah, Perek Hey Halacha Chaf Aleph, says that the sukkah should have spaces that you should be able to see the stars. And as a machlokes, how to understand what the Rambam means. He says, some explain, Rebbeinu Menoich says, that what he means by stars are sun rays. Others say that the Rambam means really stars. The Tor, in Ar Chaim Simen Tov Reish Lamed Aleph, says that L'chatchila, you should be able to see stars from the sukkah. However, the Sfas Emes says that when it says you have to be able to see stars through the schach on your sukkah, doesn't mean that you should have such spare schach that as soon as you look up, you're going to see stars. The Sfas Emes says, even if it requires concentration to put up to see the stars, but as long as if you concentrate, you'll be able to see stars, that's going to be l'chatchila de gekasha sukkah. However, the Shibali Leket says that you don't have to see anything. That what the halach is, that even though we just learned you should be able to see the stars, the Maril Paskind, that as long it doesn't make a difference, as long as you have schach, it doesn't make a difference how thick it is, since under certain circumstances you're going to have to be able to you'll be able to see stars. The halach is that that's a kosher sukkah. There are many svarim, the Mekubalim quote this, that there's a special point that you should be able to see stars through the sukkah. So even though we just quoted many rishonim that l'chatchila you should be able to see stars in the sukkah, as long the halacha, you don't have to be able to see the stars. The Mekubalim say that you should be able to see it. The Miri explains why are we so concerned about having schach that's so sparse, because we keep on going to a concern that the Gemara mentioned more than once in our Masechta. If the schach is going to be very thick, it's going to resemble your home. And then there's a concern of Gezeiras Tikra, that you may make the roof of your sukkah like a regular roof. The Prima Gadim has a different shot. He says the whole point of going out to the sukkah is to go out from the Diras Kva into the Diras Arai, and to recognize that life is impermanent and we don't control anything in life. So when we make sparse schach, that lesson is much more driven home. And therefore, he says that the halacha is that you should have schach that is indeed sparse enough that you should be able to see the stars. However, the Prima Gadim does say that you don't have to have that type of schach along the entire sukkah. As long as you have a spot in the sukkah where you could see the stars, so the lesson that the Prima Gadim says we want to have from the sukkah is accomplished, that's going to be fine. The Prima Kuri Yaakov however, says that the Miri says that we want to have sparse schach, not because we specifically have to get the lesson of the sukkah, because we want to make sure that you recognize and not make a regular roof. If that's the case, says the Bikur Yaakov, he should make sure that there are throughout the sukkah enough spaces that you should be able to see the stars and not have any in any continuous spot along the roof of your sukkah a real covering.